So we're going to listen to God's word together, read to us by Bella, Olivia and Zena. So grab your Bible and turn with us to John and chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. That's John chapter 1 and verse 1 to 14.
John 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him.
He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, as you can probably just about tell from my accent, I was brought up in Northern Ireland. One night in the middle of the night, we were woken up and soldiers shouted to evacuate our house. A bomb threat had been phoned into the community centre that was just opposite the house. I was only a child, but I knew the drill. I rushed quickly to grab all the things that I thought were essential. But as I got to the door of my room, my mum stopped me. You see, I grabbed a load of my favourite toys. Of course, what I really needed were shoes and some warm clothes to put on. We're living in dark times, aren't we? Times of danger and times of threat. In these times, I wonder what you're looking for, what you're grabbing onto for yourself. There are so many things calling for our attention, aren't there? Maybe it's Joe Wicks and his daily exercises to keep our bodies moving. Or perhaps it's the lure of the latest TV box sets to keep boredom away. Or maybe it's the many different fundraisers that we can be parts of. Now all those things are fine, don't get me wrong, but they're not really fundamentals, are they? The problem is that as great as these things are, they can actually stop us from finding the fundamentals. They can stop us from finding the things that we really need in order to guard our hearts and to rest our minds. They can stop us from finding what we really need to give us peace and hope and a future. So we're starting a new series together, and we're calling this series There Is Hope. We're going to look together through the Gospel of John, and that's what I want you to see in this series, is that in our darkness there is light, in our hopelessness there is hope, in our fear there is peace, and even in our final hours there's a rest for our souls, and if we have to come to it in our grief, that there is and can be still a future. You see, that's exactly what John's Gospel was written for. We don't need to guess at the reason. It's given to us in John chapter 20 and verse 31. It says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you might have life in his name." You see, our faith, it's not a religion, is it? It's a revelation that leads us into relationship, eternal relationship with the living God. It's coming to know and meeting with and being transformed by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to start at the very start, at John chapter 1 and verse 1 to 14. And these verses, they're amazing verses. There's deep verses as well. There's so much in them. We've got very little time, and so we're only really going to be able to paddle at the edge of the depth of these verses. But I do long that you meet Jesus. You see that, to see that all that we need is found in him, to come to love and to rest and find peace in him. Now, in this first chapter of John, there are seven words or phrases that are used to describe Jesus. He is the Word, verse 1 to 3, the Light, verse 4 to 13, the Son of God, verse 15 to 28, the Lamb of God, verse 29 to 34, the Messiah, verse 35 to 42, the King of Israel, verse 43 to 49, and the Son of Man, verse 50 to 57. We're going to look at only the first two of those today. Jesus who is the Word and Jesus who is the Light. So first of all then, Jesus who is the Word, verses 1 to 3. These days, there's news available 24/7, isn't there? There are constant updates. You get notifications all the time on your phone and news bulletins. When I was younger, this is showing my age, there was only one or two news broadcasts a day. And maybe it was the newspaper man on the corner stand who would shout, "Read all about it!" And you'd buy the newspaper and you would read about it and it would be the definitive word. But in this world, there are so many voices and there are so many people calling out, so many claims to have truth. But Jesus is introduced in a massively definitive way. It says, in the beginning, verse 1, not at the beginning, but in. He was always there, pre-existing time. In the beginning was. It's a second emphasis, not became, but always was. Was the Word. There's a definite article there. Not many words, but one of many words, but the Word. Now, this is really important. Let me try to explain why. I'm going to use an example. With the youth, we sometimes play a game. You put a blindfold on them. You place a person with a blindfold in front of a set of obstacles. And you have a teammate call out to guide them through the obstacles. But to make it difficult, you encourage others to call out too. Now, it's not necessarily easy when there's only one voice. But with loads of voices, it's all but impossible. Now, we, rather like that blindfolded person, need to know that there is one voice that we need to listen to. And so into the confusion of our world with all the different voices comes Jesus, and he is the Word. But why should I listen to him? Well, there's three reasons we can find here. First of all, he's the Word of Revelation. Verse 1, the second part of it. The Word was with God and the Word was God. You know, this is very, very carefully phrased into the Greek. That word with means alongside, in intimate relationship with, separate from, but belonging to. And the word was one with, fully divine. He was God himself. So we've got Jesus who is with God, but is also fully God himself. Now, in my life, I have had the privilege of meeting and getting to know some very famous people. You read about them in newspapers, or you see them on TV, or you find out about them in blogs. But you don't really get to know them. You don't really have any idea of who they are or what they're really like. But then you meet them in person, and now you find out what they're really like. And this is a bit about like what it's saying here. We have a God who reveals himself. We see this throughout the Bible. Noah, who heard from God. Moses, who spoke with God face to face, we're told. And time and again, we read that the word of God came to, for example, Isaiah or Jeremiah, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 3, 9, verse 8, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, or to Ezekiel, Ezekiel 33, verse 7. We hear from God, we hear of God, and yet we're told in verse 18 of John chapter 1 that no one has seen God. And it's true, isn't it? But verse 18 continues, except the one and only who is at the Father's side. You see, Jesus is God in person. He is God revealed to us. Well, why? Well, so that we have the privilege of getting to know him, so that we can be brought into relationship with God himself. So we see he's the Word of God revealed. But also he's the Word of God in creation, verse 1 and verse 3. Verse 1 started, in the beginning. It's like a hyperlink back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who is the one who wants me to know him? He's the one who created life itself. And that's emphasized in verse 3. Listen to verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, this is important because he made us. He knows us. He knows us through and through. Let me explain why that's important. I have a little device here. It's called a video encoder. It's for live streaming. There's one problem. It doesn't work. I've tried calling those who sold it to me, but it's no good. You see, it's a no-name device, and so I can't find the manufacturer. If only I could find the manufacturer, they could tell me how to get it going. Well, what about not that device, but this device, me? What about all that's wrong with me? Who can help with that? You know, amazingly, we have a creator God who wants to meet me. And that's incredible. So we have the word of revelation, a God who reveals himself to us, and the word of creation, a God who knows how to deal with my brokenness. But thirdly, we see he's the word of salvation. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. You know, he's the one who gives life itself into the brokenness of my life, into all the mess I've made and all the ways that I've failed. Jesus comes and he comes to offer me new life and make me a new creature in him. So do you see, we're being introduced to Jesus. Right at the start, what do we find? We find he's the way. He is God himself revealing himself to us. He's God's revelation of himself to us. He's the truth. He's our creator who sees into my brokenness and all that I should be. And he is the life. He's my savior. He's the one who came to give me new life and a hope and a future. You see, he's the word who is true. He's the word I can trust. And he is the word that I need to hear. In lockdown, we're allowed to do one daily outing for exercise, aren't we? I've been running. Yeah, I know you don't believe that, but it's true. And on some days, when I'm not running, I've been walking in the country lanes near to the house. And I've become really reliant on these things. Well, they're footpath signs. You see, as I'm walking on these green lanes, there sometimes seem to be many paths and you don't quite know which way to go. And we need to know, I need to know, which is the right way to go. And there's the sign. It's so, such a blessing. In Jesus, we have the one who is the word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He reveals himself to us so that we can know the way. So, Jesus is the word, the revelation of God that we need. Now, secondly, what do we find here? Also, Jesus, not only the word, but he is the light, verses 4 to 5. The light shines in the darkness, we read in verse 5. You know, darkness is always a danger. We don't realize it because we have electric lights everywhere shining down us. But we can get into bad situations. I remember once going and exploring an old mine. I was okay. I brought a torch with me. But actually, I wasn't okay because I hadn't checked the batteries. And as I explored the tunnels, the light of my torch started to fade. Thankfully, I realized I was in a bad situation and I ran out quickly. But what could have happened? Well, there were lots of pathways there. It was really dark and I was really lost. I wonder if you could imagine being lost underground with no light. And then imagine how you'd feel if somebody came along, the rescuer, carrying a light with him. Back in Isaiah, there's a famous passage which is often used at Christmas, and I'm sure you know it well. It goes like this. A people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. What's it talking about? It's talking about those who are lost, who have no light to show them the way. And Jesus comes into this situation and declares, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8. He is the rescuer who shines his light into our darkness. Over the last few weeks, I've heard many people say, we're living through dark times. And yes, we are. There is great worry. There's fear and concern. We don't know the future. But then we never did we? And the reality is we've always lived in darkness. We've never known the future. We've always been faced with death. And worse still, we're facing death. And yet, when God's light shines into our lives, we see the reality of the rottenness of the sin and failure within. But it's into this darkness that Jesus comes, the light of the world. Now, there's a lovely side to this illustration of light that we need to see. You see, light is energy, isn't it? It travels in waveform. But what is darkness? Well, darkness really isn't anything. It's simply a lack of light. And so when the light comes, the darkness can't resist it. The light has to triumph. It drives out darkness. And Jesus came to drive out the darkness of our failure, to drive out the darkness of our sin, to drive out the darkness of our fears, to drive out the darkness within. We've seen two aspects, haven't we, of who Jesus is as we're introduced to Jesus in this gospel. He's the Word. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He reveals God to us and shows us the way to a new life. And he is the light. He's the rescuer who drives out the darkness. But the issue is, what are we going to do with this? You see, it's more than just head knowledge, more than just information. I was once canoeing. It was May Bank Holiday and the sea was cold. A wave caught me and I fell out of the canoe into the sea. Now, it wasn't a problem in a sense because I had a life jacket on. And so I struck out to get back to the canoe and try and climb on board. I spent some time struggling to get on board, but the life jacket itself was getting caught on the canoe and I couldn't get up. And as time passed, I continued to struggle and I gradually lost my strength. You know, it was a really silly thing to do because there were others who were around who were able to help, but I kept on trying to help myself. In these difficult times, how do we face the challenges? You see, you could be a bit like me on that canoe. You're struggling, but you won't acknowledge that you don't have the answers yourself. When instead you could look to somebody who has shown us that he does have the answers that we need. Now, I'm speaking to those primarily, I guess, who are Christians here. Maybe you've put your trust in Jesus, but have you worked that out into your life? Do you know that you have total assurance in him because he is the one who is life eternal? Do you know that you have nothing to fear because you are his? Do you know experientially the light of his love driving out the darkness? You see, he's still the Word. He's the Word of truth that speaks salvation into our lives so we can rest secure in him. And he's still the light of his love that drives out fear. But I'm also speaking, I guess, to some of those who have not yet come to know Jesus. Maybe you know a little bit about him, but you've never come to know him for yourself. At the start of the talk, I talked about the bomb threat and my evacuation and the stuff I grabbed, which was totally irrelevant. I wonder if under the current situation, you've grabbed onto lots of things, but you've forgotten about the only one who can really help you in this situation. You've forgotten Jesus. We're called to look to Jesus and to live. We're called to come to him and to ask him to forgive us from our sin, our rebellion, going my way rather than God's way. We're called to come and thank him for dying for your sin. You're called to come and ask him to give you new life, new hope in this future. And this very morning, Jesus the Word calls you and asks to drive out your darkness if you're willing to turn to him and to seek his help. You know, I longed for all of us that whatever situation we're in, that we would behold the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We would see that he is the Word, that he is the light, and that we would find the peace and the joy that we need in him alone.